Tom and I took the bags to the kitchen while Jim went back outside. We took out the containers and began arranging them around the island. Tom gave me a big bear hug from behind. Leaning into his warm strength, I looked at my other brother, sitting at the counter, scrolling through his phone without so much as a glance up. Devin, so nice to see you after so long. And by the way, can you be bothered to stand up and maybe grab plates and silverware? Devin looked up.
You seem to have things well under control with your little minion there.
Tom balled up a paper bag and threw it at Devin's head. There were always a lot of flying projectiles growing up with so many brothers.
Come on, dude, get a move on,
Tom said.
Eloquent as always, Tom. Where's your new heartthrob, sis? I hear he's a dreamboat.
Devin, would you just shut up and get the plates?
Said Tommy in a faux stage whisper.
I'm right here, ready to be observed. Please tell me if you see any flaws.
Jim spoke just behind me. I blushed all the way to my roots and turned around, reaching my hands out. Let me take those bags. Please ignore Devin. He's my least favorite brother. Devin and I had always had the most antagonistic relationship amongst the siblings. Will was the oldest, protector to all his little brothers and sister, but slightly aloof. Devin was born indignant, no doubt as a result of being second in line, and proceeded to live life with a chip on his shoulder. Tom, the third, was the kindest, always there with a helping hand. He was only 18 months older than me. We had been the closest, best friends since we were little kids chasing each other around on big wheels down the driveway. I knew all my brothers would be there for me, but Tom was the one who understood my deepest insecurities and my wildest dreams. We texted almost daily. He had taken a job out in L.A. at a design firm, and I was heartbroken he would be moving across the country soon, just as I was set to move back in a few months after graduation. Jim went back to the car for the last of the bags. Once he was out of earshot, Devin drawled in his best southern accent.
He's way too good-looking for you, honey child.
Seriously, Devin, why do you always have to be such an ass? Maybe not all men are shallow like you.
Or maybe it's your trust fund and your famous last name.
Devin sneered, his lips curled into a smirk. The tears rose unbidden in my eyes, and I bit my lip to keep them at bay. Not nice, Devin, though you really do have a way with words. Shocking it's taken you 5 years, completely financially dependent on your parents, to write your great American novel. How's that going, by the way? Storming out, I made my way to the powder room. Devin had always known how to push my buttons. He was like the evil voice in my head, the one that always denigrates your best intentions. Splashing water on my face, I took a frank assessment of my looks. I was pretty enough, my face plain and almost bird-like. My eyes were a milky blue behind the thick tortoiseshell glasses. It didn't matter. Jim's early declaration about our future gave me confidence. I squared my shoulders and promised myself I wouldn't make eye contact with Devin for the rest of the night. The banging on the door made me jump, knowing only Devin would be so rude. Ready to do battle, I opened the door.
Sorry, I was waiting for you to apologize, but you were taking forever.
Devin scowled. Seriously, just leave me alone. Why am I the only one you pick on?
Well, obviously you're an easy target.
His teasing note only infuriated me more. I shoved him hard. I'm done. I have zero desire to talk to you the rest of the weekend. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. He grabbed my arm.
Look, I know I'm your least favorite, but know that I'm trying to watch out for you in my own way. You are my family, and no matter what you think, family means a lot to me.
Eyeing him warily, I wrenched my arm free. Am I supposed to thank you for your insight? I'm a grown woman making grown-up decisions. I don't need my big brothers telling me what is or is not wrong with my relationship. Not to mention, you've barely said two words to him. Maybe you're the one being shallow. It's just silly. I know our truth. Devon looked down, his loose, floppy blonde hair over his eyes.
Sure, okay. You're both desperately in love, and I'm just here to sneak some of Dad's good scotch when he isn't looking. Friends?
He stuck out his palm. Fine. Friends. I said, extending my arm.
Too slow,
he smirked, raking his hand through his hair.
You're such a child!
I stormed off, heading back to the kitchen. Tom and Jim were putting out the food on the counter and making small talk.
That was an amazing three-pointer,
Tom said. Evidently, as men do, they had found commonality in sports.
Where's Will?
I interrupted.
Wasn't his car in the driveway?
He just stopped by to steal a bottle of wine before heading over to Carol's parents' house. They're having some guests over. He'll be by for pie making later.
Well, he could have said hi.
Oh, don't pout, Nightingale. I think he wants to sneak in a few words with Carol's dad before the festivities start. I did a little snooping at his place last weekend and spied one doozy of a ring in his bureau drawer.
No way!
It's about time. I looked at Jim.
He and Carol have been together for years. I don't know what took him so long.
Is there a time limit to dating before a proposal has to happen?
The arch expression in his eyes made my heart beat faster. Fortunately, my mother's arrival saved me from having to respond.
Let's eat. Your father is just on his way down. Tom, will you open some wine?
Do you boys want beer?
I think we could do both, she said, heading to the wine fridge. Plates overflowing, we all sat down to eat at the large round table in the breakfast nook. Sitting opposite Jim kept him in eyeshot, without being too obvious. The constant chatter could be overwhelming with such a large family, but he seemed to be easing into the evening. Luckily, with Chinese food, there was no silverware to worry about, and Jim was a pro with chopsticks. He had once told me there were only two restaurants in his little town, the diner that had opened circa 1910 as the railroad was being built, and a little Chinese restaurant that had moved in 10 years ago, whose owners, like so many immigrants, kept to themselves and devoted all their time to making their business a success. He'd become friends with the son, both driven in their studies and their need to succeed. The family had let them study in the restaurant after school, bringing bowls of rice and traditional dishes to the boys. It had made a real difference to Jim. His own family life was the opposite. Always strapped for cash, there was never enough in the icebox to feed a growing boy.